Have you ever found a $5 bill in the street and felt like it's your lucky day? I know I have. What if you found $500, though? Would you still take it? How about $500,000? Well, believe it or not, only recently an entire country's worth of people were faced with this very question, and none of them chose to take any of it. In fact, some of them even threw it away. All this despite being so poor they could hardly afford food. The what? Well, the whole thing is kind of hard to explain.
You're listening to
Be Amazed.
I'm going to explain this whole crazy situation. But to do that first, we've got to go back to the future. Oh, sorry, I got carried away there. We've got to go back to pre-World War I Germany. Here we are, pre-World War I Germany. Now this might not make sense immediately, but you'll soon see. Before World War I, Germany was part of an international agreement called the Gold Standard. This set the value of the German currency, the German Mark, on how much of a fixed quantity of gold it could buy. For example, a pound of pure gold would set you back 1,265 marks, which is about $10,500 today. This system kept currency stable by requiring a percentage of all money a country had in circulation to be held in gold. So if the state wanted to print more money, it had to get more gold in order to do so. Following so far? Good. Hypothetically, the gold standard stopped countries spending more than they could actually afford and kept the economy stable by doing so. But when World War I hit, it became so expensive that a whole bunch of countries scrapped the gold standard entirely, allowing them to print more money and fund their war efforts without needing more gold. Fast forward to 1918 and, spoiler alert, Germany lost. And because of all the money they'd printed to fund the war, the German state had built up some massive debts. On top of this, the Allied nations forced them to pay over $350 billion in today's money to cover other countries' damages. Jeepers. So you know what Germany did to pay the debts? Why, simple. They printed more money, of course. Alright, here's where it gets a little tricky, because you can't just print more money without big consequences. You see, all cash really is paper. Its value is intrinsically linked to the value of the goods it's being exchanged for. If there's loads of goods for people to buy but not much money to buy them with, then the value of those goods goes down and the value of money itself goes up. This is called deflation, and it leads to lower costs. On the other hand, if there's loads of money and not much stuff, the value of things goes up and the value of money goes down. This is called inflation, and it leads to higher costs. Get what I mean? Then eat a cookie. You deserve it. Now, let's say a loaf of bread costs $1, but inflation is rising by 10% every year. 1 year later, that same loaf of bread will cost you $1.10. And the next year, it'll cost you $1.21. But a $1 bill is still only worth $1. So the amount that $1 can buy you is less. To ensure everybody can buy bread then, the country needs more money. So the big money guys at the top are constantly increasing or decreasing the money supply to keep the balance. In post-war Germany's case, however, the government kept printing more and more money, but couldn't produce enough goods to keep up. That meant the balance of money to goods slid heavily towards the money, so the value of that money went down. Ready to hear something crazy? When war broke out in 1914, 4.2 marks was worth $1. By the end of the war, just 4 years later, that amount had more than doubled to 8.91 marks per dollar. But by 1923, the government had printed so much money that $1 was worth an astronomical 4.2 trillion marks. What? Yep. By this point, Germany wasn't just the victim of inflation. It had fallen foul of hyperinflation, which is when inflation is so high it rises over 1,000% a year. While Germany was hitting over 3,000,000% every month, workers' wages were so incomprehensibly high that they were paid 3 times a day. And this was way before credit card. So employers would hand over huge piles of cash every time they paid their employees. And if they went to the store, they'd have to leave the cash-filled carts on the sidewalk before entering. Any potential thieves would have been more likely to steal the carts, though. They were worth more. Jeez. The situation got so bad that great heaps of cash were literally piled up to burn because the notes were nothing more than a waste of space. Indeed, people had had so much money no one knew how much anything cost anymore. In 1922, a loaf of bread was 3 marks. By January 1923, it was 700 marks. And from there, it just kept going. In May, it was 1,200, July, 100,000, September, 2 million, October, 670 million, and in November, one loaf of bread hit, wait for it, 80 billion marks. Oh, mother. You'd need so many 10-mark notes that if you stuck them together end to end, it would reach the moon and back, and then halfway back to the moon again. In just 1 year, a 10-mark note dropped from buying 3 loaves of bread to barely buying you a crumb. Everyone was a billionaire, and it meant absolutely nothing. In fact, money became so useless that it was used as practically anything else. Banknotes were cheaper than wallpaper, made good kindling to light the stove, and were even given to kids to play with instead of toys. They'd stack them up like Legos and cut up hundreds of thousands of marks at a time to make kites. To keep up with the plummeting value, notes were issued in larger and larger denominations, steadily making the smaller ones totally irrelevant. By November 1923, there were 400 billion trillion marks in circulation. It's safe to say Germany was on the verge of total collapse. And yet, by some miracle, one man actually managed to fix the entire dire situation. Enter Gustav Stresemann. This very serious-looking man became head of the German government, or Chancellor, in August 1923, just as the crisis was about to hit its peak. Germany was struggling hard to make its post-war payments. So Stresemann renegotiated the payment terms into a new, more affordable schedule, which helped them start whittling away at the massive deficit. But he didn't stop at that. Oh no. He also introduced a brand new currency, the Rentenmark. One Rentenmark was equivalent to a whopping 1 trillion old marks. I know it says ein Billionen, but a European billion is the same number as an American trillion. It's confusing, but the zeros add up. With this came a new money printing policy. Instead of printing more money, Stresemann restricted the money supply, keeping it limited to the real worth of the economy. These changes stopped hyperinflation in just 3 months. What a guy. In fact, 1923 to 1929 became known as the Golden Age in Germany because of how much the economy boomed. And after the Golden Age? Well, we don't need to talk about that. Now, when you see money in the street, do you understand why people aren't taking it? Yeah, it's down to hyperinflation. But wait, that's not the full story. This isn't some European nation 100 years ago. It's Venezuela. In 2021, they've been suffering from uninterrupted inflation since 1983. By 2014, they had the highest inflation rate in the world at 69% a year, which is the least funny that number's ever been. Since then, it's soared to unprecedented levels. The Central Bank of Venezuela predicts that between 2016 and April 2019, interest rates rose a devastating 53 million%, and it gets even worse. Unlike the German crisis almost a century before, Venezuela's economic avalanche is almost entirely down to government incompetence. You see, they have the largest oil reserves of any country in the world, with almost 13 trillion gallons of the slippery stuff. Seriously, if all that oil was to flow through the world's longest river, the Nile, it would take over 39 years. Jeez, that's a lot of dirty crocodiles. To capitalize on these huge reserves, the government shifted an immense amount of their economic output into producing fossil fuels. And I mean immense. Oil makes up an astounding 99% of Venezuelan exports and 25% of their entire earnings. Ever heard of putting all your eggs in one basket? Well, that's a whole lot of eggs in a big oily basket.
Lowe's knows you don't want to sacrifice reliability for savings. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select LG appliances and purchase 2 or 3 select major appliances to get an additional 10% off. Save big on LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.
Now, when oil prices go up, Venezuela goes, but when oil prices go down, things are catastrophic. And that's exactly what happened in 2014. Oil prices had doubled throughout the 2000s from $50 for a 42-gallon barrel to over $100 for that same barrel. At the time, large economies like China were consuming vast amounts of oil, and production levels were low due to the war in Iraq, another big producer of oil. Remember, goods go down, cost goes up. But by late 2014, oil demands in Europe, Asia, and the United States began to taper off as they became more energy efficient. Suddenly, oil was being overproduced and no one would buy it. So the price fell hard. Like $30 a barrel in 2016 hard. Let that be a lesson. Don't count your oily chickens before they hatch. Excellent callback, if I say so myself. Now, no country wants to lose 25% of their income, but that alone isn't enough to drastically affect inflation rates. No. Having a corrupt leader that fires all his oil experts to install loyalists, however, that definitely is. And it's exactly what happened when Hugo Chavez became Venezuelan president back in 1999. Just 3 years later, in 2002, Chavez humiliated and fired the executives of the PVDSA, the government's oil organization, on live TV. Then he replaced them with his political allies. But his chums knew nothing about oil, and loyalties don't make royalties. Chavez's gains in power and influence came at the expense of productivity, and oil production continued to fall until Chavez's death in 2013. Okay, but surely things improved after that. Ha! If only. Nicolas Maduro took over as president, and from there, things only got worse. Despite the price of oil tanking, Maduro did nothing to curb government spending or fix the issues in oil production. Instead, he tried to cover the financial hit by printing more money. Sound familiar? Well, in this case, more money meant way more problems. As Maduro printed more and more, the value of the bolivar, Venezuela's currency, collapsed at an alarming rate. In February 2016, $1 was worth 1,000 Venezuelan bolivar. Already not a great exchange rate. Come August 2018, however, and $1 was now 5.9 million bolivar. Ouch. So, just like good guy Strassman, the government introduced a new currency, the sovereign bolivar, to ease the plummeting value of the old currency. One sovereign bolivar was worth 100,000 old bolivar, dropping the exchange rate to just 59 sovereign bolivar per dollar. Great, right? But unless actual steps are taken to reduce the economic imbalances, all you're doing is changing the number on a piece of paper. If money keeps getting printed at the same rate, it's just gonna shoot up again. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. By August 2021, the sovereign bolivar had escalated all the way up to 4.2 million per US dollar. Man, even if magic money trees were real, Venezuelans would walk right past them. Just like post-war Germany, cash became almost impossible to maintain. You needed 7 1 million bolivar notes just to buy a loaf of bread. And as the note with the highest value, they were super hard to come by. In response, 6 zeros were slashed off the end of the currency in October 2021 to make it more manageable. 1 million bolivar became just 1 bolivar, which was worth a little less than 25 cents. But all this yo-yoing does is make everyone swap their old notes for the new smaller ones until the new notes are worth nothing and bigger notes need to be printed. Again and again and again. And drumroll please, that is why all this free cash is in the streets. It's literal trash. You could take it, sure, but it's the weakest currency in the world. So what's the point? It's not worth your time. You'd be better off just walking on by. Phew, after all that explaining, I think I need to lie down. But we're far from done. You might know why this happened, but it hasn't happened in a vacuum. Millions of people have suffered because of it. In fact, since 2015, nearly 6 million Venezuelans have fled their home country to escape the economic horror show. That's one in every 5 people. It's the largest displacement of Latin American people in history. And they were the lucky ones. Out of those who remain, a heartbreaking 90% now live in poverty. That's horrifying. Earlier on, I said when inflation drives prices up, $1 is still a dollar, right? Well, high inflation rates have wiped out almost everyone's life savings. Imagine you spend the next 10 years saving $50,000. But then, at the end of those 10 years, the country is hit with inflation so hard that those $50,000 won't even buy you a loaf of bread. The only thing that money would be good for is toilet paper. Yeah, it's literally cheaper for Venezuelans to use cash to wipe their bums with. Between 2015 and 2016, over 75% of the population lost almost 20 pounds in weight. And even if you can afford food, there's no guarantee you can get it. Terrible government policies have left shelves bare, forcing many Venezuelans to eat garbage from the street. These are innocent people, forced to sift through trash and probably piles of money to sustain themselves. It's heartbreaking. And the response of Maduro's government really twists the knife. To supposedly ease the suffering, they've been giving away free handouts like food. Except they're not really free handouts. They're a way of pressuring impoverished citizens to attend pro-government rallies and support Maduro in elections. What a human scab. One of the ways people have tried to shield themselves from the damage caused by Maduro and the bolivar is by not having any bolivar. by converting their money into more stable currencies like US dollars or Colombian pesos. Those that can have been able to dodge the insane inflation rates. A little bit at least. But this has only made the bolivar look even worse, tanking its value further. So in response, the government fixed its exchange rate against the US dollar. Hypothetically, this should have stopped the bolivar from falling anymore. But they also made it more difficult for people to exchange their bolivar in the first place, hoping they'd be forced to hold on to it. Well, it didn't work. People started trading their currency on the black market instead. And because demand for US dollars was so high, these illegal markets could charge way more than the official exchange rate, driving the bolivar even further into the ground. Those not willing to pay the extortionate black market prices resorted to making things from their bolivars and selling them on. Insanely, the notes were worth more as gifts than actual money. Notice how I'm talking in the past tense? That's because miraculously, the currency has made a dramatic comeback from the chaos. At the time I'm recording this, it's trading at 24 bolivar to the dollar. I think you'll agree that's a bit better than 5.9 million to the dollar. But this incredible turnaround has nothing to do with those self-centered greedy politicians. Oh no. It's because oil prices have risen back up to around $100 a barrel, as well as Venezuela expanding into other industries at last, like gold, rum, and cocoa. Spreading their eggs into multiple baskets has done wonders for the Venezuelan economy, which grew for the first time in 7 years back in 2021. Woohoo! For the 90% of Venezuelans living in poverty, this is incredible news. But unfortunately, it's far from over. No, it's hard to see any meaningful change happening in Venezuela without a drastic shift in how the country is run. And it's not just Venezuela either. Corrupt government officials around the world have been ruining their citizens' lives for their own political gain since forever. People in major positions of power all over the world are regularly being found guilty of corruption. Everywhere from Syria to North Korea, governments are impoverishing their people for their own gain. On far more serious levels. Damn. It's not all bad, of course. If you live in Denmark, New Zealand, or Finland, count yourself lucky because you're in one of the least corrupt countries in the world. But spare a thought for those who aren't so lucky. Either way, Venezuelans at least are hopefully through the worst of it. So here's to them.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.